word together to Romans chapter 6. We'll share a few verses from there as a kickoff this morning. And Romans chapter 6, let's begin in verse 8 and read mostly down through verse 18. Let's begin in verse 8. Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome and he says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." Notice, by the way, the word "lives" there in verse 10 is present tense. It's present tense. So when it says in verse 8, "We believe that we shall also live with him," it's talking about present tense living. Not talking about future tense. Does apply there. But we're talking about present tense living, living in this lifetime, living in this age, okay? So he says in verse 10, "The life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." And you drop down to verse 16. Excuse me. "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin," that's my message to you today, "having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Let's pray together. Father, I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit this morning. I pray that you would help me to speak the word of the Lord truthfully, honestly, and sincerely. And I pray, Lord, that you would give every one of us ears to hear what you would say to us today as you challenge us to live a life of righteousness that blesses us and glorifies you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue our series this morning. We're talking about living the overcoming Christian life. We're talking about being destined to win and how God, through what he did by Jesus at Calvary's cross, has positioned us to be winners in every area of life. And we've talked about finances. We've talked about marriage and some other things along the way. We've talked about having victory over death. Today, I want to talk just in general terms about having victory and living in victory over sin and over negative attitudes. How many of you, and this will date me, but how many of you older folk remember a comedian on television by the name of Flip Wilson? Remember Flip Wilson? That was a while ago, wasn't it? That was a while ago. But Flip Wilson was just hilarious, a great comedian. And Flip Wilson was actually the first church lady, okay? Dana Carvey didn't come up with that. Flip Wilson did. Flip Wilson used to dress up like a woman. What is it with guys that dress up like women, by the way? Anyway, he used to dress up like a woman, and he was the original church lady. And do you remember his famous line that he always said when somebody accused him of something? He would say, "The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it." And, of course, everybody would laugh, and that was funny, and that was awesome. But his line was, "The devil made me do it." And, you know, it's kind of a line that kind of fits in with our culture today that wants to blame everything on somebody else. You know, Somebody else made me do this. Well, if I wouldn't have done that except for they did this to me, or she did this to him, or that kind of thing. And we always want to point the finger of blame at somebody else. How many of you know that by the way, pointing the finger of blame goes back as far as sin itself? Do you remember how Adam and Eve responded when they were caught in the first sin? God creates these people. He creates this perfect paradise, and then He creates this man and woman and places them in this paradise to just take care of it and be the overseers of what He has created. And the only instruction is, there's just, you know, anything else, you just enjoy what I've given to you. But because God gave us free will, He had to give us something to test that. And He placed a tree in that garden, and He said, "Of that tree, don't eat. Anything else, fine. Don't eat of the fruit of that one tree." You know the story. The devil comes in, tempts them. They eat of the fruit. Their eyes are open. They become ashamed of what they've done. They hide from God. God comes to have fellowship with them and calls out to them, "Adam, where are you?" And finds out they're hiding and wants to know why and all of these kinds of things. And why did you eat the fruit you were told not to? And you remember what Adam said? "Well, God, it was the woman that you gave me." In one sentence, he blamed the woman and God for his failing. "It was the woman that you gave me." And so God goes to Eve, and you remember what she did? She did her Flip Wilson imitation. She said, "The devil made me do it." It's essentially what she said. "Well, the serpent came in and he deceived me and he tricked me, and so the devil made me do it." And ever since the first sin, we've always blamed our failings, our shortcomings, our sins, our bad attitudes on somebody else. And what Paul tells us in this passage of Scripture is that our excuse has no foundation under it whatsoever any longer because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a couple of different places in that passage that I read there, it told us that we have been freed from sin. We've been set free from the power of sin by the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His death, burial, and resurrection. And so we are without excuse any longer. We can't blame the devil. We can't say the devil made us do it, because Jesus has set us free from the controlling power of sin by His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. And what it comes down to, and what Paul is showing us in this passage of Scripture, and notice he says in verse 11, let me go to verse 12 first. We'll come back to verse 11 in a minute. Verse 12, he says, "Therefore, because of what Jesus has done, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts." Do not let sin. That tells me that you and I have a choice about it. We have a choice as to whether or not we're going to let sin rule our life or whether we're going to let the Spirit of God rule our life. And it's all about the choices that we make in life. It's a matter of choice and trusting the Spirit of God. Don't let sin rule. Sin is destructive. Sin ruins our lives. It creates stress and anxiety that leads to all manner of diseases. Sins hurt us. Sins hurt the people that we love when they hurt us. Sin is the devil's tool to rob us of peace. The Bible says in Isaiah, in at least two places, there is no peace for the wicked. There's no rest for the wicked. Always looking over your shoulder, always wondering if you're going to get caught, having to tell a lie to cover up what you did, and then having to tell another lie to cover up that lie, and then having to try to remember who you told what lie to keep it all straight. And you just get stressed, and you just get anxious, and you just get wrung out. And it wears you out trying to keep up. And if you just live a life of righteousness, you don't have to worry about all that. See? But it's a tool of the devil to rob us of peace and to rob us of God's blessings for our life. As Paul says in this same chapter, by the way, in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. Sin kills. Sin kills us. But thank God Jesus has set us free from the power of sin, so that we can live a life of righteousness and not have to suffer those negative consequences. But it's all about making wise choices. Notice he goes on to say in verse 13, Verse 12, don't let sin reign. Verse 13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. He says, don't keep putting yourself in the place where you're going to be tempted to sin. You've been set free from that power. Now, don't go back to it. Be wise about it. Don't put yourself in the place where you're going to be tempted to sin again. If going to certain places tempts you to do things that you know are wrong, just don't go to those places. If being with certain people is going to lead you down a certain, they're going to be a bad influence. You know, the Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. And if we want to live a good life, we have to learn to run with good people. Because if we hang out with evil people, we will eventually, in all probability, fall into the pattern of living that they set for us. And we'll follow them into a destructive path. And so we need to be careful about the choices that we make, about where we go and what we do and who we run with and all of these kinds of things. Paul would tell Timothy, in one of his letters to Timothy, he says, flee youthful lusts. Don't put yourself in a position where you're liable to fall into temptation or lust will grow in your heart. He said, get away from it. Why is it that we as human beings, even Christians, we like to try to see how close to the fire we can get without getting burned? And you know what? If you keep playing with fire, guess what happens to you? Eventually you get burned. Instead of seeing how close to the fire we can get without getting burned, why don't we see how far away from the fire we can get and stay warm in the presence of the Lord? You know, one of these days we're going to realize that true blessing and true contentment comes as a result of not pleasing ourselves, but rather pleasing God. And when we learn to live that way and learn to live that righteous life, then we avoid all the negative consequences that are the result of sin in our life. Do you understand this morning that every choice we make in life, whether it's good or bad, every deed we do, every act we commit, every word we say, is ultimately an investment we're making in our future? Let me show you that. You hold your blind. We'll come back to this in a minute. In Romans chapter 6, but turn over to Galatians chapter 6. A couple of books to your left. 1st and 2nd Corinthians and then Galatians and the 6th chapter. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Paul writes here and he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life. He tells us every choice that we make, whether we're choosing to follow our fleshly impulses and desires, which is the human nature that leads to sin, or whether we choose to follow the voice of the Spirit of God who would lead us to love and righteousness. Whatever choices that we make, whatever deeds that we do, whatever actions that we take, we're actually sowing a seed as an investment of our future. Because Paul says, everything that you sow, you ultimately will reap. So if you're sowing towards sin, you're going to reap corruption in the future. If you're sowing toward righteousness in God, you're going to reap blessing in the future. And so everything, you know what most of us do? Most of us sow our seeds of flesh, and then we pray for crop failure. But that seed's coming to pass. That seed's coming up. And listen, we've got to learn this lesson. Prayer is not a substitute for obedience to God. We think we can live however we want to, and then when bad things happen, just pray and God will make it go away. Not true, brother and sister. That's not the way the kingdom works. What you sow, you reap. If you sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. And sometimes we just have to learn to say no. We just have to learn to say no. We say yes to Jesus, and we say no to sin. Look over, back up to 1 Corinthians, just a couple back to the other direction there, and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We need to understand that sin is destructive. And hear me, church. One wrong choice can affect the rest of your life. One wrong choice can affect the whole rest of your life. And you can reap and reap and reap, and some things just keep producing harvest. And it's why we need to make the right choices in life and sow the right seeds in life so that we're reaping the right thing in life. We need to make wise choices. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, the Apostle Paul uses a metaphor of the Olympics. The Olympics were back in those days, and he uses the races of the Olympics as a metaphor for life here. He says, verse Corinthians 9, verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" Now watch what he says. "Run in such a way that you may win." See, life is different than the Olympics. The Olympics, every event has one winner. But in life, we can all win if we make the right choices. And the choices that we have to make are patterned for us by the Olympic runner. Look at what he goes on to say here. He says in verse 25, "Everyone who competes in the games," the Olympic games, "exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Paul says we have to live a life of discipline. We have to make some choices, and sometimes in those choices in life, we have to learn to tell our bodies no. We can't just live by the impulses of the flesh. We can't let the flesh life dictate the choices that we make, because the flesh is going to lead us away from God. The flesh is going to lead us to make choices that are sinful, and those sinful choices are going to create destruction in our life. Ask King David. King David is a man, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord, wrote some of the greatest, most beautiful scripture that you and I can read and memorize and learn. He's a man who loved God, and he made a wrong choice one day. The Bible says in 2 Samuel, in the season when the kings went out to war, that David chose to stay at home. And while he was at home one evening, he looked from his balcony, and he could see the rooftop of another building, and he saw a beautiful young woman bathing there. Lust rose in his heart, and he had to have her. He took her for himself. They committed adultery. She had a child. You know the story. It was a year later before David was confronted by the prophet Nathan for what he'd done. When he was confronted, he confessed to what he did. But the prophet said, "Because of what you've done, the child that is born from this relationship will die. And not only that, David, there will be trouble in your house the rest of your life." One bad choice cost him the rest of his life. One choice can do that for us, brother and sister. And it's why we can't run the risk of saying, "Well, you know, it's just one little thing," or "it's just, you know," or "every," you know how we justify it, or "everybody does it," or people will get over it, or "it'll be all right." No, listen. We need to consider what the word of the Lord has to say and walk in obedience to what the scripture has to say, and let the spirit of the Lord help us live a life of righteousness so that we can avoid the consequences of the negative choices and the choices where sin is concerned. Sin is all about selfishness. Do you understand that? Sin is all about selfishness. We sin because we think about ourselves, and we think about that immediate, temporary pleasure that's right in front of us. That's why we do it. We have no long-term vision for the consequences of what we're about to do. In fact, the Bible even calls sin a passing pleasure. And the pleasure does pass. And then eventually the pain sets in. The guilt, the remorse, the consequences, the embarrassment, the shame, whatever it might be. And our harvest comes home. We do it because we don't think about anybody but ourselves. When we sin, we don't consider what's going to happen to us as a result of this. And then we don't consider, how is this going to affect the people that are around me? How is this going to affect the people that I love or the people that love me? Because, brother and sister, we really aren't isolated. We really aren't an island unto ourselves in this life. And the sins that we commit that hurt us do hurt everybody else that we care about and that we love. And so there's that ripple effect as a result of the sins that we commit. And we need to choose to love God with all of our heart. How do we get to that place where we make the right choice to decide to love the Lord and follow after God instead of choosing sin? Well, first again, it's a choice. It's a choice that you and I have to make. We have to choose to love God with all of our heart. We're commanded to in the Bible, but if we'll submit to the Holy Spirit, He will help us to choose to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can make that choice. And we can live that life. And when we walk in love, we don't offend anybody else. You're back to 1 Corinthians. Just keep flipping backwards. Go back over to Romans again. Back one to your left. Romans chapter 13. Paul writes here in Romans 13, verse 8, he says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If you and I will choose the simple path of loving one another, we won't sin against each other. Because in love, we won't want to hurt each other, which is the obvious consequence of our sinful choices. We're to clothe ourselves in Christ. We're to abide with Jesus. We're to continue to fellowship with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to fill us with love. Because when we walk in love, we don't walk in sin. Look back over. I'll make one more comment from Romans chapter 6. Told you I was coming back there. You didn't believe me. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Paul says, "Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God." The old King James, I think, says, "Reckon yourselves." Consider yourselves dead to sin. You know, we use that phrase even today in the modern vernacular. We say, "Well, that thing is dead to me. That person's dead to me." When we use that phrase, what we mean is, that person's dead to me. That means I'm not having anything else to do with that person, and I'm not letting that person have any more influence over my life in any way, shape, or form. I'm dead to that. It's dead to me. Well, Paul says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. Don't let sin have control over you. Don't have anything to do with sin any longer. Let it go. Turn away from it. Turn to God and walk and live with Him. Look over at Psalm 119 with me very quickly. I've got several passages to read to you real quick this morning. We're going to be done. How do we get to the place where we choose righteously, how we choose to walk in love, and we choose the way of the Lord? Well, first we choose to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We cultivate an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. We commune with the Spirit of God. We talk to the Lord. We have fellowship with Him. We love God. We receive love from the Lord. And then it says in Psalm 119, verse 9, watch this, very simple. How can a young man keep his way pure? Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word I've treasured in my heart. I fed my heart on the word of God so that I can be protected from sin and from its temptations. Jesus says something very, very similar to that in John chapter 8. Verse 31, Jesus says, John 8, 31, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you will be truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He says, continue in the word. Continue to feed your heart on the word of the Lord. Continue to feed your spirit. How many of you know your soul, your heart, your spirit needs to be fed daily, just like your Bible does, that your body does. Your body needs to be fed food every day. Food is strength for your body. Well, the Word of God is strength for our soul and spirit. It's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And just like we need to feed our bodies every day, we need to feed our soul and spirit. We need to renew our mind on the Word of God. We need to feed our soul and spirit, the spiritual food of the Word of God, every day to grow strong in spirit so that we can walk in the things of the Lord. The Bible says that we're to guard our heart in Proverbs chapters 3 and chapters 4. And I won't take the time to read those for you this morning, but the Bible says in Proverbs 4, we're to be diligent where the Word of God is concerned. We're to watch over our heart with all diligence. We're to feed our heart on the Word of God according to Proverbs chapter 3. And when we do, the result will be life, health, strength, peace, and favor from God. You know, when we became new creatures in Christ, when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became new creatures. The Bible says old things passed away. That doesn't mean old things cease to exist. It means the old things have become powerless where your life is concerned. And a new thing has come. You become a new person. Spiritually, we're new people. Spiritually, we have a new nature. Peter tells us that God has given us a new nature, a divine nature, the nature of God Himself. Within you today, as you sit in this room right now, there are two natures that dwell in your heart and soul. There's your old human nature, but then there's the spiritual nature of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you to produce that new nature in you. Paul talks in Galatians, in Romans, in Colossians, in Ephesians, in most of his epistles. Paul talks about the fact that what we need to do is put on that new nature and lay aside the old nature. He's reminding us that we all have two, but we've got to let the new nature have control. We've got to let the new nature be in charge. You know how we do that? It's by feeding that new nature. By feeding it the Word of God. It will only grow strong if we'll feed it the food that it needs, which is the Word of God. If we don't, your old human nature will continue to dominate you. It will continue to dominate you. In fact, you might think of it this way. The nature that you feed the most is the one that's going to control your life. Whether it's your spiritual nature, feeding it the Word of God, or whether it's your old sinful nature by feeding it the ways of the world and the things of this world. We have to feed our new nature, our spiritual nature, the food of the Word of God consistently in order to grow strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, so that we can then make those wise and smart and right choices. It's why Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 16, if you walk by the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Pretty simple, isn't it? You want to stay out of sin? Just choose to follow the Spirit of God. Just do things God's way. And the way to do that is to continually feed our spirit on the truth of the Word of God, to commune with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to have control of our lives. For as John tells us, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. If we'll submit to the Holy Spirit, we'll be victorious over sin. If we'll choose to love God with all of our heart, cultivate an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, and feed our heart the Word of God, we can have victory over sin in our life. Attitudes, negative attitudes, same thing. Do you realize, hear me, church, nobody can force you to cop an attitude. When you do it because you choose to. I know. Life can be tough. You can have a bad day. Everything goes wrong. Things break down. Confusion sets in. You get stressed out. And then the devil steps in. And he uses anybody and anything to pluck your last nerve. But guess what? Your reaction is still your choice. And you can't point to somebody else and say, they made me do it. I know they may have aggravated the daylights out of you, but you still have the power of choice where your reactions are concerned. It's a matter of choice. Are we going to choose the flesh? Jealousy, rage, anger, whatever. Or are we going to choose the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Choice is ours. Oh, by the way, the fruit of the Spirit goes on to say this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, and watch this one, the last one, self-control. With God's help, you can control yourself. And you don't have to react in the flesh. You can choose to react in the Spirit. You can choose to react in love. How do we get to that place? We become responsible. All we're talking about this morning is becoming responsible as human beings. See, Jesus has made the victorious life available to whosoever will choose Him. But it's still our responsibility to choose to walk it out. It doesn't happen automatically in our lives. God's victory only comes to those who make the choice to walk it out by walking out their life in communion with the Spirit of the Lord. So we need to choose to grow up, become responsible, and stop blaming other people for our sins and our negative attitudes. We need to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that we can choose to love everybody all the time. Because the Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's there. It's there. I promise you, it's there. You don't believe me. The ability to love everybody all the time is within you as a child of God, because the Holy Spirit is within you. God the Spirit is within you. The God who loves everybody all the time is within you to help you love everybody all the time as well. We need to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we need to feed our hearts on the Word of God. This is the same way we get over negative attitudes. Why? Because the Bible says, listen, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As we continue to feed our heart and soul on the Word of God, faith grows in our heart. We become positive. We become hopeful. We become faithful and we trust the Lord in faith. And so our attitude goes from one of being negative to one of being positive. It's all about the choices that we make in life. Isn't it interesting, by the way, that where our attitudes are concerned, what we want to control is the other people. And what they say and what they do and how they're affecting our lives. And we want to control that. And the one thing that we won't take control of is the one thing that we can. It's us. It's our own heart. It's our own attitude. See? We take control and we have victory over attitudes. We have victory over sin. When we choose to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our being. When we choose to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. When we choose to let the Holy Spirit have control of our lives. When we feed our heart and soul on the Word of God so that we grow in grace, faith, and the knowledge of the truth and become a positive people of God. But brother and sister, we have responsibility. And the choice is ours. We can win over sin. We don't have to be destroyed by its negative consequences simply by choosing a way of righteousness instead of the way of the world and the way of darkness. We can be a positive people. We can be a hopeful people if we will choose the way of God and the way of the Lord. And we can react positively all the time, no matter what, if we'll follow the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that you've given us all that we need, all things pertaining to life and godliness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to recognize the weaknesses and the shortcomings of our own lives. Help us to recognize those places and those areas where we are likely to fall into temptation. And help us to be wise to know how to make alternate choices. That we might turn away from the things that would destroy and corrupt our lives. And that we might turn to you. Reckoning ourselves dead to sin, but alive unto you. Help us today, Father, to say no to sin. By saying yes to Jesus, choosing the way of righteousness. And we thank you, Father, that as we sow those seeds of righteousness in our lives, that those seeds too will produce a crop in our future, a crop of the favor and the blessing of the Lord. Give us wisdom, Father, to choose the way of God in all things, to walk in obedience with you. Amen. Let's make a decision this morning, church. Let's make a decision. We're going to start saying no to some things. We're going to start saying no to our bodies, our human nature. We're going to say no by saying yes to Jesus. We're going to say yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But we're going to say no to the things of the world, to the things of the flesh. So that the God nature within us can begin to dominate. So that we can truly live the life. Remember the scripture in Romans chapter 6? The life Jesus lives, he lives to God. That's the life he wants us to live today as well. To live his life, a life to God. A life that's pleasing to the Lord. The life that will bring ultimate pleasure back to us. Let's make some decisions today. Father, help us to make the choice to live the life of the uncompromisingly righteous. And to choose a life that brings glory and honor to you with every choice that we make. Thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the helper. Thank you for the greater one who lives within us today, who will guide us into the truth, teach us the truth, and help us to walk in the truth. Thank you, God. Let today, Lord, be a brand new beginning for every one of us today. Help us today to leave the past behind, to walk into a future full of glory, full of blessing, as we choose the path of righteousness. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. And I'll ask you to let the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart today about the work that He wants to do in you, as I let the Holy Spirit speak to me. Let's let the Holy Spirit have His way. Father, Your Word promises that He who began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus. You promise to keep working in us each and every day until we see You face to face, Father. Thank You for that. Father, I commit my little church family into Your hands today and ask Your blessing on each one. I pray for the blessing of righteousness, the blessing of peace, the blessing of joy, the blessing of prosperity, the blessing of strength, the blessing of good health for each and every one of these precious people here today. May we seek after You with all of our heart, and in seeking You, may we find Your blessing for our life. As we leave here, Father, help us not to leave behind what You've spoken to us here today. Help us to take it with us, and help us to live by it for Your glory. It's for that purpose I pray this prayer. Amen and amen. Let's sing together. In Your presence, there is peace. In Your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in Your presence day by day, till Your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Trust you have a good week in the Lord. If we can do anything for you in this week, please give us a call, send us an email, let us know how we can help you.